Coming up on this episode of Bro, Do You Even Talk Pinball? Apparently there's some space new game. Who knew? There's Harry Potter rumors. There's some nonsense about Dave Fix talking about Galactic Tank Force. All that and more coming right up.
Double Super Jackpot!
And now, the Hall & Oates of Pinball Podcasting, Nick Lane and Kevin Manny of Buffalo Pinball. Boom shakalaka.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to yet another episode of Bro, Do You Even Talk Pinball? I'm Kevin. That's Nick. What's going on?
What's going on? I haven't seen Kevin since the last time we did a podcast.
Yeah, Nick's been busy. You've been a busy guy.
Yeah, I've been busy.
Yeah, flying all over the place, doing crazy stuff. I got woken up by about 3 a.m., with Whitney Houston being played. I was sleeping with the windows open because it's a nice time of year to sleep with the windows open, and my neighbors decided to have a dance party at 3 a.m., so that was pretty good.
Yeah, could be worse, though. Whitney's not bad. It could be much worse, so you got to count your blessings, Kevin.
It was, I want to dance with somebody. Is what I was like, what in the hell is going on?
You have, like, one neighbor. You, like, live in the middle of nowhere, and yet, like, you know, I have houses all around me, which is funny, and it's like, quiet as can be. Yeah. You have one neighbor out in the country, and you're the one getting woken up at 3 a.m. to Whitney Houston.
Yeah, I think they think nobody else has ears around here or something. I mean, there's literally like fields behind my house, but I have a neighbor on each side, and one of them decided to have a dance party last night, so there you go. You know, a little Whitney Houston to start your Sunday, but we're going to start off with some ads. I'll do the ads this month. I feel like you've been doing the ads. I'll do the ads. Give you a month off. Pinn Stadium, our premier partner, Pinn Stadium Lights. Go to pinnstadium.com. Use coupon code Buffalo to save 10% on your app-controlled LED lighting kits for all your pinball machines. Make them look great. You can pick different colors. You can adjust the brightness. You're going to make it look great. Pinnstadium.com. Comet Pinball for your LED lighting needs. Cometpinball.com. Light up all those inserts and GI with the best LED lighting on the market. If you need a pinball machine, go to flipnoutpinball.com. Flip the letter N, outpinball.com. Zach Manny, that's Nick Lane's preferred vendor for when he buys all his hot new Stern machines. If you want to win a pinball machine, a new Stern, you can go to pinballraffle.org. Support a great cause and get yourself in. They do a monthly giveaway for a brand new Stern Pro. And if you win, you can upgrade it to a premium if you want. So, Titan Pinball. I just put a bunch of Titans on my games. TitanPinball.com. Use coupon code Buffalo to save 10% on your competition rings over at Titan. Replace those nasty old rubber rings with beautiful Titan silicone rings. Multimorphic. If you're looking for innovation in pinball, this is the place. Multimorphic.com. Great partners of ours. We love showing off their new games, including the new Final Resistance. We're going to talk a little bit more about that later. And Jersey Jack Pinball, another great partner. We love revealing and showing their games. JerseyJackPinball.com. You can check out the latest release from them, The Godfather, and they got Godfather CEs rolling off the line. And then our podcast exclusive partner, Pinside. If you don't want to talk about pinball, you want to research pinball, if you got something broken and you want to figure out how to fix it, chances are somebody on Pinside has already been down that road. You can go there and find the solutions to your problems. You can also just argue with Nick. That's also a possibility. Pinside.com. Although he's been too busy to argue this month, so not so much with that.
It's tough when you have a life, you know. The more of a life you have, the less arguing you do on Pinside.
It's true.
You know, it's kind of how it works.
Yeah.
I had a life, but I also wanted to argue on Pinside because there's a lot of nonsense on there. I mean, there was so much hype, though, with Galactic Tank Force at it. It basically begged everybody to come in into that hype thread and discuss it. Like, they were begging for attention. So I was like, okay, well, let's see what you got. That's it. And then when I saw that it was a dumpster fire, I went about my ways.
And that threat has died off, to be fair. There hasn't been much to discuss.
It needs to.
One other thing, I want to give a quick shout out because we got our merchandise. We don't talk about this on the podcast very much, but if you go to pinball.com and click the merch button at the top of the screen. We just added the Play Angry shirts to the merch store here. You can get your Buffalo Pinball skull shirts in a variety of sizes. We got Brody Even pinball shirts. And there's some mugs. The black mugs are discontinued. So if you want one of these, grab it before they go out of stock. We have the Buffalo Pinball logo and the bro varieties. We've got white mugs and then some stickers too. So you can rep the brand, hashtag brand. Thank you for all the support.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this. Thanks to Kevin for getting those up there. So we're trying to push more. We talked about merch last time. Finally got the Play Angry shirts, which have been unavailable for like 4 years at least. Maybe more. That's my favorite design. It's done by a local Buffalo artist, hand-drawn. Really cool. I think it's the only way to play pinball. We've also added... Kevin, I'm sorry if you said this. I was just looking up who the artist was, which is Joel Mentor out in Buffalo. Just want to give a shout-out to him. But we've also added, rather than like... I think there's the Gildan shirts, which are not bad, but I'm a t-shirt snob, so Streamlabs offers Next Level as well. So we've got Next Level t-shirts in both the regular... I think in all the stuff, their Next Level's now an option for the shirt. So just pay attention to what you're ordering. If you're a snob like me, you can get a higher quality shirt. And if you like a burlap sack, which is an improved burlap sack, you can get the Gildan. The Gildan's not bad, to be honest. Yeah. But I think that name's been damaged because like every time somebody made a custom t-shirt back in the day, it was like Gildan, and it was like the cheapest t-shirt material ever.
Yeah, the Gildans I picked are not like the generic... $5 Gildan shirts. They're the nicer like blend shirts, but I know Nick's a stickler for his Next Level, so we put those in there for him.
Thank you. Thank you, Kevin. Kevin was very kind and just happily did that, and I appreciate it. He's just like, this probably shut Nick up about the shirts for a while. So
it's great too, because if you buy a shirt, I don't know if it'll work on here, but there's a alert that goes off if you buy a shirt or something from the merch store during the stream. So it integrates with our stream, which is kind of cool. So there you go. That's it. That's all the plugin we're going to do this time. We're going to get right into the news. But before we do that, we're going to have Tim Kitzerow introduce us.
Here's the tip. It's the latest pinball news. So hot, it's on fire.
All right. So, we've had a lot of news lately, and there's been a lot of brand new pinball machines. The past month has not been quite as fresh with the hot new pinball machine news, but there's been some crazy stuff going on, including this. I don't know if you followed this at all. So Joe Kamenkow of Kapow, who has historically worked with Stern, went onto Facebook and posted about how Jersey Jack got the license to Harry Potter. The post itself reads, "Hey, pinball fans, here's the scoop. Jersey Jack has secured the license for Harry Potter for pinball. No waiting, no speculation. They locked it in." And with it, he posted this picture of what is a Stern machine mocked up with Harry Potter art. I'm reading from Knapp Arcade, and he followed up with what the info was on that picture. So apparently, let's see, Christian Line and Mrs. Pin on Loser Kid podcast, they went on and said, "I can confirm that the mock-up that was posted on that Facebook post was indeed Christopher Franchi's art, and that was a Stern pinball machine prototype that he was going to hopefully use to sell this game to Warner Brothers as a machine that could be made. Beyond that, a lot of this is speculation. I know for sure that because the image was made, that it was brought to Warner Brothers and J.K. Rowling, and they were trying to get passed her by because the rumor is that she has been totally anti-pinball because she thinks it's a gambling device and associates it with bars and places of ill repute. And so I think that they probably thought that, and through Kamenkow's actions, got them to lighten up a little bit and loosen up with the chance to make this pinball machine. From there, it gets murky." So somehow it went from Stern to Jack, and I don't know if you remember before The Godfather launched, Jack Guarnieri on Facebook posted a post saying, "Hold out," because Stern was about to announce their game. He's like, "Hold out," and he posted a picture of him with the Harry Potter characters. So people started speculating, is JJP's next game not going to be Godfather? Is it going to be Harry Potter? So maybe they did get the license, and maybe that's down the line. But why do you think Joe Kamenkow would go and do something like this?
I have no idea. I don't know.
It's so weird. Maybe
he was drinking. I don't know. Like, it was a drunk post. I have no idea. I don't know, Joe. I don't know why he would do that. I kind of care less about this theme. I know it's a big deal to everybody, but I've never read the books. I was too old for it when they came out, and I don't know. Do you care about Harry Potter, Kev?
I don't. Like, Harry Potter is not in my wheelhouse at all either. Like, my wife really likes it, and my son really likes it. I just, for whatever reason, never got into it. Like, I've been to the Universal Studios theme parks and ridden the rides, and I tried watching one or two of the movies, and I'm like, you know, it's fine, whatever. You know, I just never got into it.
I think, because of how popular Harry Potter is, I do hope there's a Harry Potter pinball, because I think it's good for pinball to have a Harry Potter pinball. It's going to bring more people who are Harry Potter fans. They will then turn their attention and play the game, and maybe, you know, some of those people will become us weird pinball people. It's great. What an overlap.
Yeah, it is a huge theme and a huge license, and no doubt it would be amazing for whoever ended up getting their hands on it. So it is cool to see that maybe it's a possibility. It reminded me of this website or this blog post that Scott DeNisi put up a couple months ago. And it's like, he says, why do pinball / game companies keep their licenses secret during development? So I'll read a little bit of this. He says, so Scott DeNisi of TNA and Final Resistance and Rick and Morty, y'all know Scott. He says, this is like an interesting question that I get asked from time to time, and I realize I have a much longer answer than just for FOMO. So here's a nice blog entry about it. As you're aware, many different types of companies that develop products with officially licensed themes keep said licenses a secret during the development cycle for a number of reasons. This is obviously not limited to pinball and video game companies. I'm going to list the main reasons that I know about that have been exposed to below, but there are probably many others as well. So, theme licensor and competitive edge. She says, the licensee and licensor usually want to keep the product development under wraps to get ahead of competing licenses. This also keeps any ideas and designs secret from other companies until the full reveal. Also, there are unfortunate things that could happen behind the scenes if a competing company found out about a theme. Sabotage can happen, and licenses can be swept out from under you if you are not careful. For unlicensed themes, this can hurt the company because others could potentially replicate the theme or design elements. So I think that's kind of what we're seeing here. It's like the competing company is kind of sabotaging this launch, if that's indeed what's happening here. It also gets into this next post with the FOMO and hype and stagnation. I think that's what we saw with Pirates of the Caribbean, because that got through so much of a delay. They announced it, and then it got postponed and delayed, and people just, like, the hype train fell off. So Scott says, a company's going to want to manage hype around a product, and this is actually important to help drive sales and to keep a professional appearance. If a company announced a theme that excites the community at the beginning of the development cycle, this will generate a bunch of hype only to have it die down and people lose interest and move on to something else. I don't think necessarily that's going to happen with Harry Potter, because this is a theme that people just really, really want. But it does take away that initial, like, Harry Potter, oh my God, take my money right now. Like, you kind of lose that initial, like, drop of information and that excitement that gets built up. Avoiding leaks is another point that he makes. Leaks can be damaging to these companies. If a license is revealed too early, it can result in spoilers, reduce sales, loss of excitement. Keeping licenses secret helps to prevent these types of leaks, but is not foolproof, as we all know. They can also hurt the original IP as well, as it could be something like an unreleased movie or unreleased content. That's not what this is, obviously, in this case. Could get the company in hot waters. The community what ifs, I think this is probably the biggest concern for Harry Potter, because people start to envision these amazing, impossible things that are never going to happen on a pinball machine. And then when the game comes out, they're going to inevitably be disappointed, right? It's like, so Scott says, if a company announced a theme early or during development, the game community starts throwing out ideas left and right. These ideas cannot all make it into a machine. Otherwise, it will look like a Homer Simpson car and lose all connection to the designer's vision of what it should be. This complicates things in other ways too. Like, hey, I came up with that mech. Where are my royalties? My feelings are hurt. X, Y, Z. So there's, like Scott said, there's probably many more reasons, but they, you know, I think a few of these things point to some of the things that could happen and maybe why the Joe may have dropped this. Maybe some other folks have speculated that it's just sour grapes, and he's pissed off because he didn't get the license. So he's going to try to destroy the launch. So I don't know. What do you think?
It's nonsense. I mean, I don't. I can care less about any of this. This is not exciting pinball drama to me.
No. This doesn't get Nick fired up. That's okay. No, it's been one of the big topics that have been discussed over the month. So Harry Potter, I hope it happens. Like you said, I think it'll be a huge theme if it does. And we'll go from there. All right. So Godzilla topper. Have you seen the Godzilla topper, Nick?
I have. Yeah. I have not looked at the price. So okay. Now there's the price.
There it is. Yep. $1,000 for a Godzilla figure breathing some smoke with a bunch of booty rate and some LEDs. There you go. I mean, that's pinball these days. And if you, mute that. So we can see how better they announced other accessories too, like the side rails and the launcher, the plunger, and all that. I love how they're just like repurposing that dinosaur egg from Jurassic Park into every theme that Keith Elwin does now. Now it's like a Godzilla egg, and it was the gemstone on Avengers, and they're getting their money's worth. Yeah.
Yeah.
The art blades look pretty cool. It's got the zombie Yeti art. But yeah.
I think it should be his tail. You pull his tail.
That'd be fun.
Whoop. I mean, it's a stupid idea, but I'm just, you know.
It's no stupid than most of the other dumb, you know, automatic plungers that happen. The custom plungers.
Yeah.
So there you go. I will not be buying I have a Godzilla. You have a Godzilla. Are you buying a Godzilla topper?
Well, I'm not buying any toppers because I can't fit them. But even if I could, Kevin, absolutely not. No, this seems very overpriced.
Yes.
Even though it's a big deal, a steal for only $1,000 instead of $2,000 like Mandalorian toppers. But I don't know, man. Toppers seem like fun for a minute. You know, like I get it. They're like fun for a minute, and then I don't know.
Yeah, we were talking about this on in the Discord, and I was like, you know, I went to James's house. Shout out to James. He gets a shout out every episode, I feel like. And he's got the Mando topper. And I'm like, oh, that's really cool. You know what I mean? And then you play the game, and you never look at it again.
Yeah.
Same with even, like, the awesome Black Knight topper. Same thing, you know?
Yeah, like, when Patrick got, like, I talked a lot about the Black Knight topper. I was like, oh, that's one I would get. And then Patrick got the game, and he had the topper on there, and I saw it for a second, and then I totally forgot about it when playing it, and then it's like, huh. I was, like, over it, right? Like, it's something, like, you know, you want something, you see it's cool, and then when you're there, you get over it really quickly.
Yeah, exactly. So it goes back to so it's like, what was the original purpose of a topper? It was to attract play and attention on location. And it does that, right? Like, you walk up to it, and you're like, oh, that's really cool. Or if you, you know, you see it across the room and there's a cool cool effect going on, it's like, oh, it draws your eye, right? It kind of does its job. But the in a home location, I think in the home, the thing is, like, you can make them look consistent across all of your games. Like, if you get one topper, then you're like, well, all the rest of my games don't have toppers now. So if I get them all, then they'll all look consistent. So I don't know, if you're obsessive, I guess that's a thing to do. It's also a speculation thing, because people see the price on these go up, so they sell out, and, you know, they buy them and they sell out, and then that's it. So
yeah, I mean, look, they're not for me, but I don't fault anybody for you know, certainly having a topper. Why does my screen look weird?
Because I chatted to you. Now it's all out of whack.
I'm blurry.
You were blurry.
You see the mean things that Kevin says to me.
There you go.
See
that. Now he's back.
All right.
My screen's like freaking out. Like, I'm getting all these weird lines on my screen. It'll be fine.
What do you want me to do about me being blurry?
You're good now. So
I'm a real person. I swear to God.
It was an autofocus thing. All right. So yeah, topper. Get one if you're obsessive about having all your toppers, your official toppers.
Is Gorn going to talk about that?
Oh, I'm sure. We do have a new episode of Topper Talk. So there's more coming on that.
Martha asked me, she's like, what are you guys even talking about this episode? I was like, I don't fucking know. It's like, you know, because, you know, like, they released five games, you know, all at once. So the last two episodes, or last maybe pushing it to three, were great. And now we're like, well, we're talking about toppers, and I didn't care about that. And she's like, aren't you going to step on Goran's toes when it turns to toppers? I was like, I don't care about toppers, right? Like that's his territory. I'll say like, I don't care about toppers. Look at the price. It's crazy. Like, and that's it. Yep. Some are cool, right? We look at some, like the Mandalorian, like I thought was cool. And then you look at the price, you're like, well, all right, carry on.
Yep.
But I mean, listen, if it helps subsidize and keep prices pinball low and other forms of business, great. I can't get excited about them though, man.
Nope.
Can't get excited.
I don't even have the excuse of my ceiling is too low and I still don't buy these toppers because I'm like, there are much better things I can spend $1,000 or $2,000 on that isn't a thing that goes on top of my pinball machine.
Sergeant Ski says, do the economics of pinball make sense to me? Or economics in what sense? I'm not sure what, that's too broad.
Yeah.
But if you want to refine that, I can.
Yeah, we can circle back to that. But we do.
This is Kevin reads the news and we talk.
We kind of react in real time. Yeah, so yeah. Along those lines, we do have a new pinball machine to talk about, everybody. It's very exciting. You're all going to love it. And here it comes. It's not that. It's this. Space Hunt. So, all right. There's some things we could touch on here. So, new French developer. Manufacturer Hexa Pinball, HEXA, released new details on its debut title, Space Hunt. They have priced the game at 8,900 euros, or approximately 9,500 US dollars at the current exchange rate. An upgrade to the quote-unquote elegance package. I love that. It includes a mirrored back glass, rad cals, powder-coated armor, inner art blades, anti-reflective glass, pin sound speakers, and a shaker motor. Is available for additional 2,100 euros or 2,260 US dollars. The game is now available for pre-order through three French distributors below. Let's see. Okay, here you go. Space Hunt. All right, the goals. Play as the space is the hero Spheris and free your people from the yoke of... This has got like terrible translation on it too. So I'll just read it verbatim and we can all enjoy it together. Free your people from the yoke of the space hunters. Complete all original missions to defeat the enemy. Game features. First game feature, three pinball machines.
Whoa, wait a minute. Hold up. Now you've got my attention, Kevin. I was kind of half asleep. I was looking at Joel Mento's art, which was really good. But you're telling me Space Hunt has three pinball machines?
I mean, it's the first game 10K? Feature. That's right.
And that is the first time in pinball. Yeah, one pinball machine morphs into three. This is okay.
That's right. Continue. So what happened was in Europe, pinball machines are called flippers. So it translated flippers to pinball machines. So it's a translation issue.
To a good start.
Yeah, two tray levels, whatever that means. Double entry central ramp. Long access ramp to the mini tray, half pipe and double wire ramps, spinner, three illuminated drop targets. There's a hidden plot, a pilot. I can't read that. It's too small. Here I can zoom us in. Hidden plot. Hidden
nope,
plot.
You're right, Kevin.
multi-balls up to four balls and a single pendulum shot. Exclusive features, digital service menu, brake system. Okay. I thought it was like
break system. Okay, BREAK, which is, I like what like they did here. This is. I'm sorry, guys. This is where we like grill flyers for a minute.
Yeah.
But like I love they didn't even. There's so much to be said about this, right? And here's why I think we focus on this because they're trying to sell us a $10,000 pinball machine, and the flyer's fucked, right? Like, and. When you get to this part where it says exclusive features and then as a bullet point it says digital service menu, the digital's not capital. The brake system, BREAK system, is not capital. But everything previously was capital. Yep. They don't give it, like, this is just garbage. This is, like, right out of the gate. Like, no attention to detail. They'll gladly take your money for a garbage product, but they can't even just, like, even just have somebody proofread this for a second. Anyways, yep. Carry on.
Yeah. So whatever brake system means, you know, I thought Galactic Tank Force had that under control, but... You know, they're trying to capitalize on that as an exclusive feature. Soundtrack and original voice. Okay, great.
One voice.
It has sound and light. There's stereo sound system, three-channel amplifier, separate treble and bass adjustment, 120 RGB LEDs. Estimated delivery of the first machines is during the last quarter of 2023. There's the elegance package, which we touched on earlier.
I do like the terminology elegance package.
That's good.
I wish, like... Jersey Jack instead of collector's edition would just call it the elegance package. I'd be more of a buyer.
All right. I'm going to play a little bit of this just so everybody can appreciate the music from the trailer.
Oh,
so
I gotta load it up on my end.
And this is like a shot for shot replication of a Stern trailer.
Is it playing, Kevin?
Yeah, it is. You might not hear it through the... Yeah, you're not going to hear it through. Basically, there's not much to hear. All you need to know is that it says space hunt over and over.
Dude, look at that pendulum.
Yeah. Woo. It looks really slow and floaty from the gameplay video. You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to pick angles and shots to show off your game, wouldn't you crank it up in the back and make it look nice and fast? And
Is it just me, or does it have kind of like a TNA like aesthetic on certain things about it?
Yeah, I mean, it's got that kind of like the kind of like color palette is along the lines of TNA, I would say.
I wasn't even thinking like the triangles on there or the text, or there's something that I can't articulate. But.
Oh, maybe that like center bank of.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I would have to look at TNA to compare side by side. But there you go, Space Hunt, baby, Space Hunt, the space honeycombs. All right, so there you go. Everybody, sign up and get your Space Hunt. I will say, at least these guys, you know, we kind of were riding Ballarama and saying, just put a game out and we'll decide if we want to buy it. At least this company did that. They're like, all right, we built a machine. It's here. You can buy it or not. Although they haven't proven that they can manufacture them yet, because that's the next huge hurdle. I would say wait until these are in boxes ready to go. Preferably after some other folks have gotten them and you can see how well they work, what board set it's running on, you know, how do they break all the time? Is this going to be another Pinball Brothers kind of venture where the machines are failing all the time and you're having to swap out boards? And, you know, I've heard some nightmares from folks who have bought Aliens. So I would proceed with caution, but at least it seems like they have a full machine here to sell, and hopefully they will exchange product for money, and the people who receive the product will be satisfied with their purchase. That's, you know, in an ideal world. I know that's a lot to ask, but in an ideal marketplace, that's how things are going to work. So, all right. So there you go. Space Hunt, another sort of new machine, but not really. Somebody has decided to ruin yet another classic Pat Lawler game. It's Whirlwind Total Chaos, everybody, with a bunch of things that don't even make sense in the Whirlwind theme. But so this is the coming to us from Pinball News. It's the second 2.0 upgrade kit to be released from Pedretti Gaming. They were the ones who did Funhouse 2.0, so Rudy's Nightmare. So yeah, at first it's like, okay, cool. This is like the weatherman in the van from the back glass. That's cool. Makes sense to kind of focus on him and build him out into a new expanded rule set. Let's see. I want to get to the part where it shows all the rules. So there's a new side art that comes with it. There's a new back glass, which looks okay. You get the screen and a new speaker panel. A new translate, and yeah, it looks all right. It integrates with the fan like you would expect. Here's some of the modes.
By the way, Kevin, our stream title is incorrect, which would explain why there's probably not a lot of people watching right now.
Well, there's also the IFBA International, the finals happening, so that's probably why everybody else is doing.
They don't want to hear us read the news?
No. I didn't update the stream title. All right, whatever. I'll fix it after this. So the some of the modes are the Donato.
What?
Armor the House. The Scary Boys.
What?
SG Zombie. No, this is 5G Zombies is what it's supposed to be.
Wow.
Area 51. Run, Run, Chicken.
Wow.
My favorite, the Piggies.
Yeah, that's my favorite too.
And Bermuda crab, of course, which you would expect.
Bermuda crab's not bad. Good, I mean, I shouldn't have jumped on the piggy so quick.
And Nuke Nick.
What?
it's a personal attack. Acid plants, Suey versus nannies. All right, here, I'm going to play this, and I'm going to update the stream title while you...
Let me introduce you to a man in a van.
It's a man in a van.
A storm blaster, chasing storms anytime. I'm anywhere. He loves donuts. He really loves donuts.
He loves donuts.
And coffee. One windy day, this happened. Not the van!
Oh, no, not the van. Oh, my God,
now,
who cares?
It's payback time. This is Whirlwind. Total Chaos.
Oh, yeah.
Featuring new artwork.
A new artwork? Wow.
Look at it. It's beautiful. New animation.
All right, new animation. We like that, okay?
To fix the van.
You gotta fix the van. It's like,
The Piggies.
The Piggies.
Nuke Nick. The Scary Boys.
Okay, yeah, we did this already. Okay, I don't care. There you go. So Funhouse Rudy's Nightmare was whatever. I haven't played it. It looks like not that great to me. It's like, I like the idea of bringing new modes and expanded rules to these classic games, but man, the execution just has not been there. I think the best one so far has been, Bride of Pinbot, which was kind of the first one that kicked all of this off, all of this. This revolution of doing these 2.0 kits, but this falls squarely into the not for me category. I would much rather just have an original Funhouse or Whirlwind and play that.
Yeah, the best part about that was you get to hear the voice of Silk.
That's right.
So, shout out to Mark Silk. You know.
Yep.
But other than that, how much is this thing, Kevin?
Let me see. Where's the price? I think it's like $2,500, something like that.
Sure, whatever.
I'm looking at the Pinball News article here, and they don't put the price right up top.
Dude, wake me up when one of these mods of those old games are awesome, right? Like, let me know when they're really good, and then I'll pay attention. Otherwise, I'm just gonna assume this is just nothing.
Yeah, it says the prices yet to be confirmed, but check their website for availability and distributors. All right, so if you want to ruin your Whirlwind, you can go ahead and do that. All right, some other news. We've got a Multimorphic update for you. So they put out their occasionally do public updates via email to everybody who's a customer and put stuff on their website, and this was part of that. They said the new P3 pinball module, Final Resistance, breaks the sales records set by Weird Al. So, you know, it sounds like Final Resistance is selling even better than the licensed Weird Al game, which is pretty great. I was talking to Scott about it when I was down there for the reveal, and it was, I'm like, in this case, like, Scott's the license, right? Like, people love Scott. They love his games. So, you know, they wanted to see what was next from him, and, you know, it's not necessarily, like you said, going to bring in new folks into pinball like a Harry Potter theme would, but the people who are into pinball and they love it, they want to see what's next for him. So congratulations to Scott and the team over there. They offered an update on production. So they're a couple months behind on their full P3 cabinets that folks had ordered with the launch of Weird Al. And the Final Resistance got pushed back a month or so as well. So, you know, it's not, you know, we're still seeing Jurassic Parks rolling out that people ordered years ago. So it's not exclusive to Multimorphic that there's going to be delays, but I think they tend to be the most upfront about it and the most most transparent about where they are with their production. So I'll give them a shout out for that. But, you know, good news from Multimorphic there. There's also, and I don't have it open here, but for amusement only games, the makers of Drained have teased that they're working on a new module for the P3. So kind of looks like Nick Baldridge, and it sounds like he's got a team assembled for this one, so he won't be doing everything himself, which is a good idea. It kind of reminds me of Scott DeNisi going from TNA to Rick and Morty, where he's like, all right, I could do that once, but now I need some support, because it's a lot to try to pull off yourself. So yeah, be on the lookout for that. He's got an email for Amusement Only Games, does that he puts out quarterly. So if you want to learn more about what he's working on, check that out. On the JJP side of things, they're bringing the Godfather Collector's Editions on the line. I know the folks who ordered a collector's edition of Godfather have been waiting for this. And so yeah, as of Friday, they're hitting the line. Now there's a topper. If you're into toppers, you can get yourself one of these. Good to see those making it into production. They also since our last show, they announced, speaking of toppers, we're taking all the topper hype from Goran. New topper Art Blades, and for Jersey Jack Toy Story, are coming on and now available. So, yeah, this is straight up Booty Ray topper. Their toppers are only like $200 though. So it seems like that's, you know, what you should get for, or what you should pay for a topper like this. You know what I mean? And the side art blades are, kind of like the shelves in a game booth at a carnival or something like that with all the prizes. So if you're looking for some side art blades or a topper for your Toy Story, you can grab one now. All right. Great. We don't want to leave, the great folks at American Pinball out of our update. So here's the most recent update from American Pinball. This comes to us from Knapp Arcade. The gentleman over at Pinball News and Pinball Magazine interviewed American Pinball's David Fick. So this is a little inception. So this is originally on the Pinball Magazine and Pinball News podcast, but we're reporting it via Knapp Arcade. They interviewed David Fick. He says, American Pinball has found a solution to the bending center tank targets on Galactic Tank Force. The company signed off on a 500-unit run of all three pieces of a bracket designed to strengthen the targets weeks ago. As soon as they are received in American Pinball from the manufacturer, AP will send them out to its customers. Let's see. There's other issues that have allegedly been resolved, but this is where it gets good. He says, David Fick went on to state that Galactic Tank Forces on location are, quote, earning on par or a little better than Foo Fighters at quite a few different locations. He referenced specific locations like Antarium in Chicago, where the game earned 938 $1 swipes on the game during the month, Rocketeer in Buffalo, and several locations in California. American Pinball's recent run of Oktoberfest is apparently, you know, he said they have, you know, demand for more Galactic Tank Force. They're going to be doing more Houdini. They extended the license for Hot Wheels. What is your thought on GTF earning on par or a little better than Foo Fighters?
I mean, I find that hard to believe. So okay, a couple of things. Sure, there might be. I mean, how many locations even have this game? But is it possible that there's a location that has both Foo Fighters and that, and there is a location where it out earned for 1 month? Maybe they've had Foo Fighters for 2 months now, and you know, GTF just came in, so everybody plays it once or even twice, right? Like, show me 6 months of both games after they've both been there in the same location for 6 months, and I'll bet you any amount of money that Foo Fighters will out earn GTF, right? Like, everyone's gonna play GTF when they see it for the first time, right? I shouldn't say everybody, but like, people will play it the first time. It's like, what keeps people coming back? Will they be playing it 6 months from now, right? Like, those are all the real things.
Will it still be working 6 months from now?
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that could be factually true, but I don't, over the long run, there's no way that this game out-earns Foo Fighters.
Yeah, no chance.
I don't live in that reality. All right, yeah. I'm in reality, and in reality, that's not going to happen. I can tell you right now. Some things I'm just certain about, I can tell you right now. So,
right.
Good for GTF if it is performing well at places. I mean, that's a 968 plays in a month is incredible. Like, great. Is it held up? There's no issues. I want to call this place and really talk to that operator. That's amazing. That's amazing. I'm surprised. Good for GTF. I just, again, 6 months from now, let's see what the story is.
Yeah, I think to your point, like, there's probably very few of these on location. So the ones that are on location, people are concentrating in that one spot to go play it, right? If you want to play it, I'm going to go. And if there's one on location in Chicago and it's at Interim, I'm going to go there if I want to play GTF, yeah, versus where I can go to five different locations and play Foo Fighters. You know what I mean? So it's going to spread out the distribution of those dollars. And it's also like you said, the novelty of the new game. There's always like new games earn. And then it's either going to drop off if people decide they don't like that game, or if it's a good game and they want to keep at it and keep playing it, they'll keep coming back. So,
yeah, also, I mean, look, I think we played that game more at Pinbrew, you know, and there was Foo Fighters there, and this is the first time playing a bunch of the games. Like, we spent a lot of time with it, and one of the reasons I played a lot was because I just knew I wasn't going to get access to that game. I don't know when again, right? Like, so I wanted to play it as much as possible because it has been this attention-seeking game. Let me try to do my due diligence on it. Obviously, it was falling apart. It was a terrible experience. We talked about that. But I sure as hell played it more than Foo Fighters, and yet I bought a Foo Fighters for location. I didn't buy this game. I would buy Foo Fighters for my private collection. I would never buy GTF. So, you know, again, let's see 6 months' numbers. That's what's going to matter.
Yeah, totally. Like, we were playing that game because we knew we weren't going to be able to play it anywhere else, and we wanted to be able to talk about it and get our impressions in. So, yeah, all of that. All right, so there you go. Let's see. Oh, another fantastic update for y'all. If you want to get your hands on another hot new game, you can go out this weekend to the Northwest Pinball and Arcade Show to check out Punny Factory. It's making its first public appearance. And apparently one of them was already broken. So shocker, shocker. You can go, if they're still working and you're in the Northwest area of the United States of America, these states united, you can play Punny Factory for your very self. Maybe get yourself a flyer or a bottle opener or whatever. They're having some show specials, it looks like. I love that they have like the banners for their other upcoming, quote unquote, upcoming games, like First Class and Sushi Mania and Elements. Yeah, get hyped for all those games. First Class, I'm really looking forward to that one.
I do want those banners, though.
I would put those in my game room, yeah.
Yep.
He should just sell those with his art that he stole somewhere off the internet, probably.
Yep.
All right, so there you go. That's the pinball news. That's all we got for you. I wanted to give a quick shout out to the Buffalo Pinball League. We wrapped up yet another great season of Buffalo Pinball League. We're going into season 10.
Who won that league this year?
I don't know. Some guy named Nick Lane. So congratulations to him. I don't know if you guys know him.
Heard he's a good guy.
Yeah. Depends who you ask, really, though. if his opinion...
I heard he's a smug asshole, too, on Pinside. So.
Yeah. If his opinions agree with yours, then he's a good guy. But if not, yeah, then he's an asshole, you know?
Real simple equation there.
Yeah, exactly. So the top finishers this year were Nick, first place, Greg Lapa, second place, our buddy Patrick was third, and fourth was our friend Matt. In the B division, Mark Nagy, the legendary Mark Nagy, took first place. Brett Wallace, who was back in the league for the first time in a few years, took second place in B division. Kelly Anderson was third, and Christy Weiss was fourth. So
I think the main story here is that Buffalo Pinball favorite Mark Nagy took first in B.
Yeah,
that's what people want to know.
Mark, he's the man.
Dr. Mark, he's the man. Worldwide, known worldwide, world famous.
His amazing tutorials. My favorite part of this was Patrick's Motel 6 shirt, because he had such an amazing Motel 6 experience when we went to Pinbrew that he got himself a shirt. So,
you know what I like about this portion of the news? It's like, so you're watching the national news one moment, and then all of a sudden the local news kicks in. This is local Buffalo news.
That's right. That's right. We got to, you know, there's things happening. There's local folks that listen to this, so we got to let them know what's going on. It's also, people, you know, we do stuff beyond just Twitch and podcasting. We run events and tournaments and leagues and stuff like that.
That's right.
Some of the other stuff we've been up to. And sometimes Nick wins, so there you go.
Sometimes.
All right. What is happening in our game rooms? Let's do some game room updates. So for me, I wanted to show these. So let's do, where's my button for this? I haven't done this button in a while. We'll just do it this way. News photos. Bam. I got some mods from Lior. So Lior, is a sort of a partner with the channel. He hooks us up with mods so we can show them off on the stream and in our games when we stream them on Twitch. He sent me these amazing mods for my Toy Story 4. This is probably one of the coolest mods I've ever seen. It's this ticket booth mod that goes over, so it replaces the little plastic cover that covers the diverter on the left ramp on Toy Story, and the quality is just really good. He hand models all these, and they're resin cast. They're not 3D printed, so they look really great. And then he hand paints them. And then there's lighting integrated that integrates with the game. So that just really, really makes that game look great, or that part of the game. And then we've got another massive upgrade is this Curio cabinet mod that replaces the booty rate over the scoop. It's a full, 3D model of a Curio cabinet where you rescue Forky. Just really makes the game look so much better. So I got, here's a shot of it all lit up and where you can see both of them. It's just incredible mod. Some of my favorite mods in pinball right here that I've ever put on my games. They just look incredible. So thanks, Lior. Be on the lookout for more of his mods. You can, if you're in the US, you can get them from Little Shop of Games. Love it. Oh, I wanted to show this too. Even the packaging looks incredible. If you go over here, like the boxes are all like embossed and super glossy and full color. It's like he really goes over the top. So his mods are not cheap, but you get the quality is there when you get it. That's for sure. So that was it as far as like mods that I've done this month. Mostly I've been playing Zelda because everybody in the world is playing the new Zelda game pretty much. So a lot of my game time has been going to that. But I did get out and I played Scooby-Doo, Nick Lane. Can you believe it?
I guess I can believe it.
Do you want to hear my impressions on Scooby-Doo?
Sure.
Okay. It's not as bad as I was expecting. How about that? It's a very average game. I feel like it's better than an average spooky game. It's not better than the average Scott DeNisi spooky game. It is it's got a very like safe fan layout. Especially the shot to the van. It kicks out and then you can very easily trap it on the right flipper and go back into the scoop and try to get your van multi-ball. The upper playfield is, it came across on stream as like the upper playfield was slow. That is, yeah, exactly.
Put me to sleep with Scooby-Doo.
That's the impression you get when you go up onto that upper playfield. It's a bit of a snoozer. I don't know. Spooky's got this weird obsession with upper playfields, and I don't think we need upper playfields on everything. And
one day they're gonna get it right.
Mm-hmm. They're gonna keep working at it, but it looks great. Spooky games tend to look really good. They've got that part down. The flippers felt pretty snappy. But the code is, it's got a long way to go still. And, considering where Halloween and Ultraman ended up code wise, I do not have a lot of faith in this game getting to a place where it's going to be an amazing game code wise either. So, it is what it is right now. I can see why they haven't sold out of these like they have all the rest of their games, because it's, I don't know. I appreciate boutique manufacturers for offering something different, but this game just didn't do it for me. So yeah, it's kind of like, whatever.
What a great review. It is what it
it's
is.
It's not a review. It's impressions.
Impressions. That's right. I slipped up, Kevin.
You did it.
It's a good thing you jumped in there.
Woo. Close.
Yeah. I'm not going to say I look forward to playing it. All right. Cause I certainly don't look forward to playing it, but one day maybe I'll play it and then I can also share my thoughts. Everyone said it's really easy and long playing, but you didn't have that impression?
No. So it was actually kind of hard, but we only completed modes. Like we played it like, 6 or 7 times, and we only completed a couple modes throughout all that time. So I think what happened is they initially started shipping the games with the outlane posts and baby modes, where it was like impossible to drain on the sides, and they changed that out of the factory, so it
did
is a little
James
bit harder.
Change it? Are
no,
you sure it, he didn't change it.
No, he said his ship that way. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Good to know.
Yeah. So, the music and sound is not great on it. The multi-ball music is kind of repetitive, and you know, it's like a 4 bars of music when you're not in a mode and stuff. So,
is just James like it, or is he getting ready to sell
He does
it?
Like it. So maybe there's more to it that once you dig into it, or maybe he's just in.
He likes it until you find out that he sold it like yesterday. You know
right,
what I mean?
Yeah. It was great until it wasn't. Until I needed something else, and then it left. So.
Well, look, Jesus Christ, Scott. I mean, we've not done a bro stream. Even technically, we take the summer off, but it's really hard. Like, I want to go over and stream that and Bond and like Lebowski and blah blah blah, and then like, I know every weekend's busy. You know, and getting everybody together. So it's rough. Like, I want to play these games and get them on stream and play that, but it's hard to sacrifice like a nice day to do that. Like, if there's like some weekend, Kevin, that we're around and it's like shitty outside, we should probably go do that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so hard. Like, there's pinball tournaments and stuff too, and I'm like, man, you get like 3 months of good weather in Buffalo. I don't really want to spend it indoors the whole time, you know?
Yeah, 100%. I don't want to spend it indoors playing pinball whatsoever.
Yep. So pray for rain. We literally have not had rain in like a month in Buffalo. It's been so nice. Yep. So you got to take the good with the bad and take the good when you can get it here in the weather wise. So we're taking advantage of it for sure. Speaking of, spending time inside, that's what I'm gonna do next weekend, but it's not for a pinball tournament. I'm taking my son is like super into chess is like the hot new thing with the kids these days, so I'm taking him to Cleveland for a chess tournament, but along the way we're gonna go to the new Pastimes arcade in Girard, Ohio. This is Rob Burke's insane collection of games. He's got all these crazy import games, and I was like, oh yeah, we should go there. So we're going out on Friday, and we don't really have anything to do Friday night, so we're going to go to Pastimes and check out that insane collection of games. So looking forward to stopping down there. They've got pinball machines and arcade games. Approximately 600 games, according to the listing on Pinside. Look at all these games. Oh my God, dude.
Yeah, I've been there. It's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I forgot you actually went there. But yeah, now it's open to the public. So, yeah, I'm stoked. So I'll do a show report, a location report on the next episode of the show, now that it's open to the public and everything's in place and up and running. But definitely looking forward to that. All right. That's all I got. How about you, Nick?
Let's see. What do we got? So I got the Rush Expression lighting kit. Finally, I'm actually going to install it as soon as the stream is done. So let's wrap this shit up quickly, Kevin. Dave Seuss is going to come over and help me because I got to take the playfield out. I can definitely install like the art blades myself, but the playfield's got to come out, and that's a good two-person job. So really happy that I waited for that and it finally came out. So that's cool. That's exciting. I had somebody ask me about Big Buck Hunter Reloaded on Pinside, so I might as well share that question during the stream, in case anybody else has a question on it. I was asked if I like it still after, you know, I got it in October, and my answer is yes. I am happy with it. I could see why people sell it. I don't play it much. I don't pay the subscription anymore, but when I do fire it up, it's fun. I'm happy to have it. I have 13 pinball machines in the basement, so I've got enough pinball. There's never enough pinball machines. What am I kidding? But where the place that it's at, I can't put a pinball machine there. All the things I talked about before, and it adds some, something else to my game room. So it works for me. I like it. Maybe I'll put the subscription back, but I'm happy I have it in my situation, but I can see why somebody who maybe doesn't have a ton of space or rather have a pinball machine there, I could see why, you know, after they stop playing it, because we stop playing every game once, you know, at some point. I can see why you want to not pay $40 a month for something you're not playing, even though you can still play the game. You can't do the online leaderboard. I can see why people sell it. For me, it's a keeper. hopefully that helps anybody else considering that thing. It's good to provide an update after like 6 months of owning something, because you know, when you get something, you're first in like the honeymoon period, and the real question is like 6 months, a year from now, how do you feel about something? So it works for my situation. And again, I don't think this is a reason to get a game, right? Because people cite this and it comes up and I'll say it. Oh, like guests love it. Like, I'm not buying a toy for guests. I'm not buying a $7,000 toy for guests to play when guests come over like four times a year, right? Like, I want to be a good friend. I want to entertain people, but I have enough toys downstairs in the basement. But it is something that is a lot of fun when you have people over and they're in your game room. They definitely gravitate towards that. And the four-player kind of mode, team mode's awesome in that. So always a good time. That's my kind of update on there. And then a big update for me that I'm only going to say so much right now. I want to say more, but I'd rather not talk about it. I'd rather do and then talk about it. But we're in the process of creating a Buffalo Pinball Co-op, which I'm really, really excited and passionate about. So like, people have posed the idea of doing a co-op in Buffalo like years and years ago, but I never was motivated to do it because we had plenty of places to play on location. I've got my own collection. It didn't make sense for us per se or this area, but you know, things have changed. For example, we've lost locations due to the pandemic, so there's less places to play. My personal collection has expanded where I've got people babysitting my classic games that I don't want to sell, and it would be great to put them at a place. And then also, you know, some newer people have come into the hobby locally who we talk about on the stream, like Dave Sousa and Matt Taylor. Great guys. They've got a lot of, they want to do a lot more in pinball. They weren't there, you know, 4 years ago when we, you know, back in 2018, when we had like our last big tournament at the Yacht Club. So they kind of missed out on that, but they have a lot of energy. They're smart guys. So kind of, riding that energy. And my passion has like been rekindled in terms of wanting to do that next step. And also shout out to, Tim Hood at Wormhole. He also inspired me. So we're going to do a co-op. Matt has actually purchased a building in Buffalo. It's an old bar, so he's currently renovating that. I think why it also works for us is that, how do I say this? Like, it'd be difficult to do if I was paying rent to some landlord that can change the terms or change the rent, or we couldn't modify the space that much, but the stars have aligned right now, Kevin, is what I'm trying to say to everybody. The stars have aligned that now is like a perfect time to do a co-op. It won't be open until next year. I think the direction I'm going in is going to be quite different than a lot of co-ops out there, and the model I'm going to run with is going to be a little different, and I'm really excited because I think I'm onto something that's going to be unique, and I think it's going to be something that we'll be proud to show off, and people are going to say, look at what the people in Buffalo are doing. So that's where I'm at. I've got some key people on board that I've been talking to. Again, I don't want to say too much because it's always a work in progress in terms of the direction I'm leaning today. It might not be the direction I do 3 months, 6 months from now. But here's the thing. I mentioned this. If anybody is local and likes that idea and wants to put games at the co-op, like you're like me, you're running out of room, you don't want to sell games, feel free to get in touch with me. I can give you more details about what I'm doing. We can talk about how you might be able to fit into that space. And if you have games lined up, I'd love to talk to you about that.
That's awesome. Yeah, I know some of the insider stuff with this, and I know you're being selective about the information you're sharing at this point because you don't want to get the cart ahead of the horse, but there's great stuff coming and really very excited to see what this turns into. I also want to give a quick shout out to the folks that came over from JDL Pinball. They were streaming the IFBA World Championships. Thanks. We got some gift subs going on in chat, so welcome to everybody who jumped in from that. And you're just in time for Topper Talk, pretty much. So you're gonna want to stick around for that. But we got a little bit to talk about before that. so I put out the Q&A like we normally do for the talk show, and we got one from Stephen Haberman on Facebook that I thought was would be an interesting topic for us to talk about. He says, "I'd love to hear your thoughts on the auction pinball estate in Stuart, Virginia. There's a Pinside thread showing the final prices. Have you ever bought a game at auction, and what was your experience?" So I went and I looked this up, and man, it was this estate auction with all these pinball machines, and all these cool old coin-operated machines. Like, there's slot machines and stuff like that. I'm like, man, what a collection, right? Like, but if you look closely, like, look at this. Like, look at that rust on the side of Super Mario Brothers on those side rails. Like, that's kind of a red flag to me, right? Like, so there's some cool games here, but they might not necessarily be in the best condition. So the thing with auctions is, you know, you're buying what buyer beware, I guess is what I would say. You gotta take what's there. Nick, I don't think you've ever bought from an auction, have you?
I have not. No, and really quick, Kevin, did you give a shout out to JDL Pinball, which just came in with a raid of
I did.
Viewers. So well, you get two JDL Pinball. Appreciate it.
So look at the time expander in the back here. Like, the plastic is not sitting right on that. So ideally you want to I've bought a game from auction. It seems like a very similar situation to this too. It was not an arcade. So let's talk about it. There's like two different kinds of auctions you can do. There's like an arcade and amusement auction where like that's all they sell is like, say an arcade goes out of business or an old collector has, or an old operator has a barn full of old machines and they decide to auction them all off. That's one thing. And then there's like auction houses who will do estate sales. And occasionally you'll get a collector who passes away and they put their auction up for, their collection up for sale through auction. That was the latter is how I bought my game. There's an auction house not far from here that does, you know, estate sale auctions and things like that. And they had a collection of mostly EMs, but a couple solid states. And that's where I got my Mata Hari. And it was a $450 Mata Hari when all was said and done, which at the end, you know, when you hear that, you're like, oh, $450 for a Mata Hari, that's pretty good. But that game needed a lot of work. And so the advice I would give is typically auctions have preview days where you can go and see the merchandise in person, evaluate it. Ideally, they're going to let you plug it in and turn it on and see if it works or not. Open up the back glass and see like if there's acid damage on the boards, things like that. When I got my Mata Hari, I did not do that, which was not wise. But I told myself, you know, if this stays under $400, I'll throw a bid on it. And that'll still be worth it, even if I have to buy new boards and things like that, based on where the pricing is for that game. You also need to factor in that there's buyer's fees and tax on top of the hammer price. So you may bid, say, $400 on a game, but you're going to want to, you know, factor in about an extra 20% on top of the hammer price for what you're actually going to pay for that game after the auction fees and the tax are factored in. So it can be. So I went and I looked. I found the list of pricing for this auction, and I was like, oh, you know, these prices are pretty good, right? Like, you look at a Doctor Who for $2,500, you're like, hell yeah, all day. Fishtails $3,750, that's a pretty good price, right? Rolling $3,800, Street Fighter 2 for $1,500. I mean, that game's garbage, but that's like where that should be. So the prices seem pretty good when you just look at title and price. But then, you know, I looked a little further down and it said these were reimports that had been in storage for 20 years. Many were in rough shape. Don't judge the pinball market by these prices. So that's why you really need to go and see the games in person, or have somebody local that can go and see the games in person for you if it's something you're going to buy remotely. That, you know, so you can get a quote unquote good deal, but you may end up getting just more of a headache to deal with, especially if you don't have the technical skills to build these games back up from the ground up. So, you know, that's my insights on buying pinball machines from an auction. If folks in chat have any experience, we can talk about it further. But we got one other question from Chris Belinsky on Instagram. Wanted to know who the rumored designer of Harry Potter was for JJP, and we don't know. We don't even know if JJP actually has this license. But you know, it's all to be determined still. So that's all I got. Anything else, Nick Lane?
I got nothing, guys. I got nothing.
All right.
Unless chat has any questions for us before we wrap it up. But I also, I'm going to, Mubot is shilling our merch. So I'm going to do it again. We got new merch. We got the Play Angry shirts are back. We've added Next Level like that's the name of the brand of the shirt, t-shirts to the existing merch that designs that have been up there. So great way to support what we're doing at Buffalo Pinball. There's no paywall for our content. We make money by the joke money that YouTube pays us for views, subscriptions to Twitch. If you just want to flat out send us money, which somebody did, which was really nice, you can send it to via PayPal to buffalopinball@gmail.com. Or you can, the win-win is you buy yourself a shirt, Buffalo Pinball, and we get some money. You get a cool shirt, and everybody's happy. So I got to shill. Always be shilling, Kevin. At least if you're going to shill for yourself.
Exactly. Yeah. And like you said, you know, we've been doing this for, I don't know, 8 years now, and, you know, we never paywall our content. You know, we just figure, like, let's get it out there. We started this because we like talking about pinball.
Yeah.
We figured this was a good way to share our thoughts and ideas with the world. With the stream, you know, we bring, you know, new games, tutorials, things like that. So,
share the love. And not throwing shade at that approach. I mean, if that approach works for somebody, then by all means, you got to, my thing is be pragmatic and do what approach works for you.
Yeah. I think, you know, Patreon, we had one for a little while, but for Patreon to work, you have to do more content.
Yeah, do a lot of work. Yeah. It's like, it defeats the purpose, you know?
Right,
like,
exactly.
Not worth your time and effort, right?
Right. Yeah. So we just wanted to, like, we like doing what we do. We don't want to turn it into a job. This is our hobby, part of our hobby. And it's a fun way to share what we love with everybody else. So,
yeah. So guys, Kevin did a good job of reading the news. I think the bad thing about all those five games coming out at once, I think there's going to be a drag on content. I mean, that's what it is. Like, I'm always amazed at people that do more than one podcast in a month. We barely do one a month, but for better or for worse, there's nothing really to get fired up about and start cursing and swearing. It's been a chill Sunday. It's kind of nice.
That's good. You know, it's Sunday's the day to relax, right? So that's what we're doing.
Yeah, I'm sure people are disappointed that I didn't do enough cursing and swearing and all that, but
you know, you got to keep them guessing. You can't do the same thing every month. You know what I mean?
Yeah, dude, I'm gonna be out. If anybody's listening in the Denver area, I'm going to be out there. I think I'm going to play in a tournament on Sunday. I think it's in Conifer. I think that day I'll be free and I'll play in that tournament. So I'm looking forward to checking that out. I'm going to connect with Ryan from Comet. We're going to go see if Ed's listening to this, she usually does. We're going to see the Bare Naked Ladies play at Red Rocks. Looking forward to that. I don't know if I'm going to get to play pinball against Ed. Hopefully, so I can play his. He always travels with a game in his road case, which is, and he wins when we play, but it's kind of like a carnival game that he's got set up, right? Like, you know, he's got this weird road case. I don't know what's going on with the pitch and everything. Like, he can play the game, but I seem to struggle on the one game we play. my challenge to him is, one, again, I look forward to maybe I'll get to play against him, but let's do this at some point. We got to find neutral ground. We got to like go to a place where it's like a location and then we'll play like the best of seven or something. Or you actually enter a tournament. I'll come up to Canada when you're off. You enter a tournament, I'll enter a tournament, and we'll see who does better. That's real.
I like it. Throwing down the gauntlet.
That's right.
he loves to talk trash, so it's all good.
Yeah, scoring it must be at Blizzard Mountain. Yeah, there's a tournament next Sunday. I was looking. There's a tournament at Lions on Saturday, but I think I'm going to be playing disc golf. I'm going to play disc golf like every day out there. But anyways, that's the end of show rambling, throwing out the gauntlet, you know, trying to get something going.
Yeah, we got a question from Death Gun X. He says, thoughts on Final Resistance. How is Godfather so far? So,
oh, fuck yeah. I wanted to put that in my update. Yeah, let me jump on that one.
Yeah, there you go.
This is thankfully. All right. So listen, I got Godfather in early April and I'm still playing it. Still love it. It's definitely a one more game. I think the length of the, like, sometimes you can get your ass handed to you quickly. And even like the quote unquote longer games aren't that long when I play it. So I really like this game, really is a sweet spot for me personally. I'm really happy to have it. I wish they would come out with an update for the bugs that are in it. It's kind of, I'm a little disappointed that, like, one of the bugs, Kevin, is the mystery awards. Did you realize that?
No, I haven't run into that.
You have. You probably just don't know.
Okay.
So, like, and this is good for anybody who's got the game right now. I think, like, something happens if you keep the setting stock. And, like, you can get, like, if you complete the veto lanes, I think the mystery awards get better. And at one point, it's supposed to go into, like, if you ever noticed, Kevin, like, you've had a lock shot lit in the, like, right orbit, and it doesn't lock, even though it's lit, that's a bug.
Okay.
It's supposed to go, like, divert into the mystery thing and hand a mystery award. The way you fix that is you change the mystery award to, like, I forget what the stock is, but you change it to rotate, and that will work like the game should, right?
Okay.
It'll be able to lock it. Because when I was playing in at your house in League, lock was lit and I couldn't lock it. I was like, am I doing something wrong or is there a bug? So it's definitely a bug. That's one that everybody's probably encountering, but maybe they don't know. And then I just avoid the skill shot one. But other than that, dude, I highly recommend this game. I can't recommend it enough. I put a review up on Pinside in the ratings section, and I said why I like it a lot. But I also said, you know, kind of the polarizing things, and I tried to articulate why, you know, maybe it's not for everybody. So try to do a really good review of it. But yeah, absolutely love the game. Happy I have it.
Yeah, the layout is so fun. I was playing it again the other day, and it's just like, man, it's got all those crazy diverters, and it's super fast and flowy, and I don't know. I love the risk reward, building up those massive like cash outs, and then, you know, getting your multiplier up before you hit that scoop, and just if the machine just like craps out points, it's great.
Yeah, I love it. It's like the perfect game for me, honestly, in terms of layout and what I look for in rules, and obviously, like, I love the Jersey Jack presentation and quality, right? Like, I don't buy the game just because of a game's presentation or quality. It's got to have the nuts and bolts in terms of design and rules and feel of the game. And I said this on the last podcast, this game has made me excited for, you know, if it's true that Steve Ritchie's doing Elton John, I'm seriously not considering that game in a way that I wouldn't before. Because I love music games, not like an Elton John fan per se, but like I can see that being awesome after playing Godfather.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm stoked to see what Steve Ritchie's doing and what Mark Seidner are doing. It's like, you know, we've seen so much from Eric and Pat in the history of JJP. Getting some new designers into the mix is going to be cool. So definitely excited to see what's coming from those guys. So as far as Final Resistance, I haven't played it since Pinbrew. I mean, I played it the most when I was down for the reveal. It's super fun. It's more of a, like, I think Scott described it as his take on a Attack from Mars kind of game. And I kind of get that. But it's the toys on it are so cool that, like, that spaceship that just like fires the balls at you, and the kickback on the far right that comes into play sometimes, and the overall presentation and package. And, you know, I really looking forward to setting that game up at my house and like hooking the subwoofer up to the P3 and just like really soaking it all in. So, super stoked. I'm a big fan of like the cyberpunk themes and stuff like that. So, it really kind of checks all the boxes for me. So. Couldn't be more excited to get that one in the collection, and hopefully it'll be in the next month or two. So once I have it, I'll be streaming it, and we'll talk about it more on the show for sure. All right,
cool.
I think that's gonna do it. Thanks everybody.
Topper talk time.
Yeah, time for topper talk. Thanks everybody for another great month. In the meantime, we'll see you on the Twitch streams, and we'll catch you next time here on Bro, Do You Even Talk Pinball? Have a good one, y'all.
Topper talk with Goran right now. Let's all have some fun. This is about plastic on top of your pin. Go and buy one now. There's a topper here and a topper there. Here a topper, there a topper, everywhere a topper. It's critical to the gameplay experience. You must buy one now. It's your monthly fill of toppers right now. Topper talk with Goran.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Topper Talk with Goran, the part of the podcast where Kevin and Nick give me about 3 to 5 minutes to talk about everything happening in the very active and profitable topper community. Now, today, we're going to be talking about the brand new Godzilla pinball topper from Stern Pinball, so let's head into the office and we'll talk about that now. All right, so here we are in the office, so let's jump right into the Godzilla Heat Ray Destruction Topper. Here's a quick little video release from Stern Pinball so you can see what we're talking about. I love that burning building fire effect. I think that's awesome. So that's about it from the video, but we have a photo here that Stern Pinball also released, so we can see we have the burning buildings in the background with that flame effect. And then the main focal point is this Godzilla sculpt here that is breathing a heat ray. We have some 2D tanks here, as well as a Mecha Godzilla head in the background. Now, according to Stern as well, according to the description, it also says that there's going to be a special flash lamp that projects Godzilla's shadow. I'm unclear on where that is on the topper, but I'm sure that will correspond to gameplay. Overall, the topper has 21 RGB lights as well. And the big thing is it does have an exclusive mode associated with it called the King of the Monsters Time Attack. And you can't experience that without the topper. For me, I really like the atmosphere that it's trying to build with the building, burning buildings and the plane and the Mecha Godzilla in the back, as well as the tanks. But, you know, the main toy for me is really just a copy of an existing sculpt on the premium. And I just feel like the heat ray also just takes up too much space. For me, it looks like the start of an actual Stern topper that's finished by someone who's just making a topper for fun using action figures or extra toys they had laying around. So, you know, this topper is priced at $999, which is nowadays for Stern on the lower end of toppers. And I think they acknowledge that. They said it's going to be under $1,000, which it rarely happens. And I think that really shows with the topper. So they are trying to create something that is more affordable for everyone compared to other toppers, but you know, there's definitely other more interesting to look at toppers that have been released recently from Stern, in my opinion, like the Rush topper or the Mandalorian topper. But with that said, I do love the overall atmosphere that it creates on top of the game, and the extra mode that you get is always nice as well.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of Topper Talk with Goran. Tune into the next podcast for another episode, and as always, get out there and buy a topper. Thank you for coming to my Topper Talk.